Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine the kingdom, power, and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
All right. So thank you for coming. Hopefully we are going to finish this chapter. It was planned last time, but we will push it
okay.
Today. And Maggie is not here, so he had questions. He started that discussion last time. Well, it was good. It was good discussion. I'm joking. One thing is that next week we are not going to have book study. There will be a break. Okay, next week. And okay, so we are on the page 159. The second paragraph full. It is from Come to Me. It starts and two paragraphs.
Come to me with such words, prayer. The Holy Mother of all virtues invites us, all you who labor under the yoke of passions in bondage to the fallen spirits and are heavy laden by various sins, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls through the heaving of your sores. For my yoke is easy, capable of healing all sins, even the most grievous. Come, ye children, with such words, prayer, the Holy Mother of all virtues invites us, and hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord through experience. I will bring it palpably into our hearts. I will teach you also the beginner's fear, through which every man turns away from evil, and the pure fear of the Lord, who endures forever and ever, the fear with which all the Lord's children reverence him. For the Lord is fearful even to the fiery cherubim and the glorious six-winged seraphim.
Thank you. So he's bringing this chapter to its end slowly and really beautiful words, poetic words almost. And he's making some kind of conclusion. But again, when we, well, it's difficult to, because we started before pandemia, we had break, and so it was like those pieces. But if we look back and we remember all this, his words about prayer, we have to realize one thing, that prayer is something probably different what we thought. That many times we have this feeling that, or we were taught or formed that, well, you should pray, and this was always some kind of set of text, prayers, expressions, and it was some kind of like duty to say. And I think that especially young people are, if they are not, they don't have good leadership in this, they will stop to pray. Because this is not going to satisfy them. This is one thing that they will stop to pray if they don't come to understanding that prayer is, it should be like always growing, this connection with God, and always some kind of to go to always to deeper level. And all the things, like he said, about preparation for prayer, setting of heart, or how to pray, what kind of prayers to use, and how to approach. He gives those good fundaments we can use to be free from this temptation or this, or not temptation, it's just to fall to some kind of formality. And it is a little bit problem because especially we who live on West, we are afflicted with this some kind of, I would say, I don't want to be like critical, but it is like just to point the difference that many times when I'm listening people who are Roman Catholics, you know, nothing against them, but you can notice this point. This is your rule, you know, you should pray. Say your rosary, say your prayers, go to mass, do this. All good things, you know, don't take me wrong, you know, all good things. But I think that there is this danger that we can be stuck in some kind of satisfaction that, okay, I did this, and I'm fine. And it is not in Western spirituality. This is not what it's just, I think, common conclusion or this approach, legalistic approach to the spiritual life, and it brings satisfaction, and nothing wrong with that, because like Saint Isaac the Syrian says that everybody who does good things, probably it's not perfect, I don't remember exactly, but who does good things in some kind of expectation of reward, that person changes fast. So it means it brings like growth. But East is somehow don't trust to this approach. And the reason is that, and the East was this stress on theosis, divinization, that we are called to be like God, to have this participation in God's law. So it was like this part that to do your duty, it was great, it was condition, but this condition was only to get deeper to this, or to make progress on this divinization, on this road to theosis. So it reflects in their teaching more, and they put stress more on this. Even it is the goal of both spirituality. It's just some kind of even it is not like habit. It's just like in it fits more spirit of Western Europe, I would say, and maybe now here to have this rule that what I'm supposed to do and to follow, that is more, this East is more like, well, okay, but there is this divinization and I should be there, I should be growing, and I am not there, so I'm crying. It is more, it's a little bit different approach. And I think it's connected even, this approach, I think that marked even like this mentality of these nations, West and East, the way of thinking is a little bit different. And I think it was afflicted through this approach to spiritual life. But we have to always somehow try to understand like prayer, that the prayer is the path. And the prayer should bring us to that point when prayer stops. And through God's grace, prayer lives through Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit prays in us when our faculties are silent, and Holy Spirit prays in us. And so we don't stop that we fulfill our prayer rule, but we try to make this prayer, or this prayer deeper, touching heart, going down, and with all this, with expectation that, well, something bigger is coming, that we are not satisfied, that will be fulfilled something. Girl.
When the Roman Church was changing, that's when I was in the Byzantine Church for about 20 years. I didn't understand, I was never taught anything about the Byzantine Church, but I could feel the spirituality and it was different. Although I went back to the Roman Church. I feel like it's, just as you were saying, it's kind of, okay, you do this and this and this, and that was under the Roman Empire, and they had rules and regulations, and that's how it was set up. That's why I came back here, just for the spirituality, because it's like you're doing the spirituality that the saints are doing, that the saints have done, that they've discovered through reading with the saints and everything else, and the spirituality of the Eastern Church is very different, very different. It would be hard to teach, but just you kind of absorb it.
Yeah.
It's hard to exactly explain, like the Roman Church.
Yeah, it's good. You said absorb this. Yeah. It's through experience.
So that's what I mean.
In the West, and particularly in the United States, okay, prayer has become doing as opposed to a state of being. I think in the Eastern Church, it's more a state of being is prayer, that your whole life is prayer. Mm-hmm. In the Latin Church, because for whatever reason, lack of education, whatever, it's more of a doing thing. Like you said, checklist. I said my rosary, I said this, I did this, I did this. And we have allowed this ingraining of what prayer is without expanding it from the pulpit and other places too. A woman came into the sacristy of a church that I was standing with the priest, and that church, for whatever reason, I can't remember the exact reason, they didn't have candles in front of the statues. And she said, where are the candles? I want to light a candle for my mother. And they said, I'm sorry, we don't have candles here. And she said, I guess I'm going to have to settle for a mass. and she was dead serious about that. And we both looked at each other and went, you know, we failed. You know, we've just failed in educating. And but like I said, it's also an American thing from the puritanical background that we had. It's very work-oriented, it's very outcome-oriented, and therefore, if you do this, this is going to be what happens, and it's just the way that we've grown up, especially in this country.
Yeah.
You know, the Latin Church has a very strict law with a liberal interpretation, you know, a very pastoral interpretation. The Latin Church has that. But in the United States law is a very kind of liberal law with a very strict interpretation. So when you take a strict law and put a strict interpretation on it, the United States, it gets a little confining. And when they had things going on in Rome, when I was living in Rome, and Rome made certain rulings that we had to change things, all the other schools waited to see what the Americans did, and they stepped it down from there. You know, the Americans are going to be the strictest, so we'll just calm it down from there, you know, because they're going to be the strictest. It's just part of who we are as a people.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's more doing as opposed to being. You know, it's more of a checklist type thing.
But I don't want what I said to be like criticism, because if you go to past, we see especially, well, if you go really that one, John Cassian, at the time, and why his influence on the West, in the West, was, is almost the same spirituality. And then, but it changed later, but still, if you read these mystics, John of Cross, I don't know, and others.
Benedict Francis Teresa.
Exactly, so you can find the same thing. But something prevailed, you know, this legalistic approach. What is not bad, maybe was needed at the time at the countries that, well, these rules were important to keep spiritual life in order, you know, some kind of, maybe it was needed. And now even this changing society and maybe it contributed to this really even less understanding of prayer. Well, at least we need to start to renew that, because this is, then we don't experience this fruit which comes out from prayer. If we live with this understanding that prayer is something which should grow in me and be more and more deeper, and it is the way how I can come closer to God, and actually to come to that point when I stand in awe in front of God, that I see, well, all my prayers are almost nothing, but this grace, when this grace touched me and made me able to see God's glory, God's love, and this greatness of God, and suddenly I feel that I am silent and I am taken by this awe, this vision, I would say even, that then I come to understanding that, well, there is something more, and I will become like more thirsty. And actually he is saying in this, I would say in this text, in these two paragraphs, we can find like, we'll say like three fruits of prayer in like big areas. That the first one, what he's saying when he talks about this Christ words that take my yoke. Is there?
Mm-hmm. It says, for my yoke is easy.
Yes. So, for sure, prayer, if we try to follow these advices, counsels, which Priyanchendra gave us with good preparation for prayer and everything, this prayer will start to make us free from pain. It means that if I start to have this, or to be more skillful in this art of prayer, so really this prayer gives me relief. That it might be a lot of difficulties in my life, and this prayer, I will start to understand that this prayer gives me relief, that while this pain is not so intensive, it's not so difficult. So many people, you know, many times, if they encounter like difficulties in life, how many times they ask me to open a church because they want to spend time in church, and they are thankful. I say, well, this was a relief for me. For sure it was. You know, and even that, it's good for people that know that, where to go, what to do. Because, and it is rare, because majority it is like, what I cannot understand, for example, is that like many times happens that somebody sends text message or calls or something that, well, I'm taking care of my husband or something because he's in hospital now. And what is going on, though, he's in pain. Can you pray for him? I'm sure. And then next day, for example, Sunday or this Saturday liturgy, and always I have this some kind of expectation that I will see that person there to come to pray. It's really serious situation, but no. We don't come to this. Well, we don't. Not generation, but it is common experience that. And when I ask then the person, all I was with my husband, for example, in hospital, sure, it is good, and you should give this some kind of relief consolation, but the husband would survive this hour and a half when you come from hospital to church to ask God for health of that person you love. And but again, this is not criticism, it is just that we don't experience this power of prayer, power, this fruit of prayer, which gives relief, not only help, this connected with when we beg God, but even for our soul, it is some kind of like anointing, this oil which smooths these wounds which we have there and removes this the problem and other things. Well, so it is one thing is that when we start to pray more and we pay attention that this prayer is expression of our desire to be united with God, that we are aware that we are standing in front of our Lord, and we prepare our hearts where we do repentance for our sins, etc. Slowly we will see that, we will feel that not only effects of this prayer, God's answers, but even for us there will be this consolation which comes for our souls. But then he says about, I would say that it is another fruit, it's in connection, it is that when we start to pray this way, we start to see more and more what is inside of us. That we, the prayer teaches us or opens us for this I don't know how to explain it, but we are able to see clearly our weaknesses, this weak place, areas in our soul. We see clearly our sins more and more, because it is impossible that we, when we approach, we come closer to God in prayer, that in this light of His presence, some of our soul starts to see more what is there, what is shameful in us. And it is moment that when we pray and suddenly we realize that, and our prayer changes to this really begging for mercy, for repentance, there is a tears. And once we start to do this, it makes us free a little bit, or freer from passions, for these weaknesses that have become weaker. Because always when we, it's more difficult, but too easy to say, always when we acknowledge our weakness, we are making this weakness weaker. He taught us to several pages ago that this acknowledgement of weakness, when we recognize weakness, already it makes our weakness or our passion weaker. So it is, and as our prayer continues and becomes deeper and deeper, yes, this prayer can make us free even from many these weaknesses. And the third thing, fruit of prayer, when we start to pray in this manner he taught us, is that we will get, as many saints say, that it is the first gift of Holy Spirit. And this gift is fear of God. This deep respect towards God, to it is this. Everybody who starts to know himself or herself comes to this, receives this gift. Because when I start to realize who I am, or in which state is my soul, so it is like this trembling is coming, because I realize, oh my, I need help. I need God's help. And it is gift from Holy Spirit, which helps us to see clearer who we are in front of God, in God's eyes, who we are, and who actually we can have some kind of this not clear vision what we are supposed to be. And because we see that we are not there, so we are filled with this fear, which in the beginning of spiritual life is a real fear, this trembling, because we are afraid of that we can be damned. But slowly as we grow in spiritual life, this fear of I can go to hell is changing, and instead of feeling of that, I start to fear that I will lose a relationship with God. You know, that I am so afraid that I can lose this, because when I taste a little bit with this sweetness, I would say, what God offer me, what I can expect, just this little foretaste. So then I have this fear that I can lose it. And once I reach perfectness, fear disappears. God takes away this gift when I am in love with God, and when my love to God is perfect. And it is His gift. We cannot reach this. We can walk towards this. We can make ourselves ready for this gift, but God gives us this gift of love. So prayer is very, there are many other things, but based on His words, I think this is those, we have should somehow keep it in our mind that there is, that is very important for us to pray. You know. Comments or questions? All right. So let's continue. Let's finish the chapter.
Okay. Leave behind your fruitless and pointless attachment to all that fades, all that you will be forced to leave behind, whether you wish it or not. Leave behind all attractions and enjoyments of temptations. Leave behind idle chatter, inappropriate laughter, and excess talk, which leave the soul empty. Remember, analyze, and convince yourselves that you are here on earth only as temporary wanderers, that your homeland, your eternal home, is heaven. You need a strong and faithful guide there. I, prayer, am this guide, no one else. All the saints who have ascended from earth to heaven traveled on no other path than the one offered by me. I reveal the fall and sinfulness of man to those who unite themselves with me, and I pull them out as from a deep pit. I show them the princes of the air, their traps and snares. I tear apart these snares. I defeat and expel these princes. I reveal the Creator to the created and the Redeemer to the redeemed. I reconcile man with God. I reveal to my students and my beloved the inconceivable greatness of God and lead them into that state of reverence and submission to Him which is appropriate for the creation before its Creator. I sow humility in the heart and give the heart a great harvest of tears. My communicants become communicants of divine grace. I will never leave those whom I guide until I lead them before the very face of God, until they are united with God. God is the limitless fulfillment of all desires, both in this world and in the eternal life. Amen.
Those beautiful words. Mm-hmm. And actually he lets prayer to talk to us. Mm-hmm. And Actually, there are really this summary, I would say, all his advices he gave, and he was talking during whole chapter. So it is just a reminder or summary of whole chapter, and not only what we are how we are supposed to approach prayer, but even on good things which come from this our prayer, our work of prayer. As a conclusion, I think that this is something that, well, why we have this formation classes, because one thing is that it is impossible, like through homilies, to come to this some kind, to go to this depth, because you have only a few minutes during like on Sundays, and it is always sometimes limited with gospel or other things you want to touch, and so you cannot go slowly to this depth as we are able to go Monday after Monday. Look how much we spend, you know, that, and you can touch only one thing actually during homily. But it is necessary to really understand in wholeness this. So it is good, and it is always good to read these holy fathers who speak really a lot about prayer, how to come to this art of prayer. And I'm sure that this is something what would be necessary, this return back to this teaching of these teachers, holy teacher of spiritual life, to listen to them for some kind of renewal of religious life, spiritual life in our time. I remember the Deacon Ed gave me a book. I think the author was Kelly and something, I don't know. I don't remember, but here in his book there was like one chapter about prayer. Like whole book was like directed more how to do new evangelization, and it was nice book. But when he was talking about prayer, I think that he wrote there that what is the most important thing in present time is to teach people how to pray. And I think he added that it's time to become spiritual people again. Mm-hmm. And it will not come from we have to start to pray if we want to do this. So I was touched by, and there was like whole chapter, but I was touched by that. And I think that that message was some kind of resonated in me, and it was always connected with. It was last year when Bishop Milan was. It was Bishop Milan. It was anniversary of our eparchy, and Archbishop Philip Kocsis came from Hungary for that too, and there was like meetings Saturday evening that Bishop Milan, Bishop Philip, Archbishop Philip, they met with people and they had some kind of speech, and then they took questions from people, and Miron asked him, Archbishop Philip, that, well, because he's seminarian and there are other seminarians there, what would be his advice for them as a seminarian? And he said, go to your cave and pray. And it is somehow, maybe because this story, and plus I read that book from Deacon Ed at the time, and there were like two the same like impulses which I remember. And I agree with that this is the way. This way, way for us to some kind, not only to take care of ourselves, but to contribute to this renewal of church, of spiritual life. And because without that, we will be just some kind of dry, dead, I would say, spiritually dead people. We would do some right things, but there will be no, like wood, which is tree which is cut off, so this moisture doesn't go from roots up to leaves, and leaves got brown and fall down. It's still tree, but that tree. And I think that these roots, this is the prayer, which is, and this prayer takes all these things from God. Maybe can flourish, you know, to grow and to have leaves and to bring fruits. So, all right. I have in my notes that, well, that it's, we should not stay only in this some kind of wish. It should, this, I think that the fruit of this chapter would be if we make decision to start, to at first force ourselves to pray more, to use these free moments for Jesus prayer or other forms of prayer, to really turn our mind anytime during day, you know, up to God and to ask. And I like that what Isaac Sirian says, that he says, may your soul be always thirsty for God. May you become drunk with his love. And so it means that, well, that God wants us to be filled with good things, with spiritual things, but we have to have this desire, this we want to make this effort. We have to work to have to this, because at first we have to change ourselves a little bit, we have to force ourselves. It is hard work in the beginning, but it becomes easier and easier. Good, we finished that. I would, now we are going to skip chapter 21st, because it's just a reflection on faith. And well, I think it's worth it to read, if you can read that. And then it's another reflection, we are going to skip that. Look how big progress we are making. And we are going to continue. We have a few minutes more on this chapter 22. It's page 168. And it is on a very interesting topic, repentance. We were talking about repentance all the time, but now he feels that we need to have a special chapter about that. So let's. And it is like good step for another chapter, which is about humility. And I think this chapter helps us to really get this meaning of our message of next chapter. So
okay.
Do you have Mark?
No.
So it is like here.
Okay. To there.
Yeah, apart with this, that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These were the first words of the God-man's preaching. These same words today he pronounces to us through the gospels. when the world's sin became most virulent, then all the powerful physician came down to the world. He descended to a country of exile, to a world of our longing and suffering, which was only the beginning of our eternal suffering in hell. He brought the good news of redemption, joy, and healing for all people without anything in return. Repent. The power of repentance is founded on the power of God. The physician is all-powerful, and the medicine given by him is also all-powerful. At that time, during his preaching on earth, the Lord called all his diseased with sin to be healed, calling no sin incurable, and now he continues to call everyone. He promises and gives forgiveness of any sin, healing of any sinful ailment.
Okay, so he starts this chapter with reminding that of first commandment which Christ gave to us, repent and believe in the gospel. We can find it in Mark and in Matthew too. This is like first commandment given by Christ. And this is, we were talking all time about repentance, need for repentance. But what he's trying to tell us, it is my impression, you know, not this reminder of this commandment, but I think that he says these words to really destroy our way of thinking, because we always admit that repentance is necessary, but we connect this repentance with some kind of concrete, like sin. Yes, if we do something wrong, okay, I know I should do repentance. But this is what he's trying to tell us through this, is that we have to realize that we are in state of sin. That we are not, you know, like, we are not perfect yet. We are not in heaven. Still, we are on this earth when we have to fight with our passion, everything. And so it is like this state of fight and state of falling and standing up. It's non-stop, always present. Every day we might fail hundreds of times we start again. So it is like non-stop state where we are in this exile on this earth. So the same thing, we should acknowledge repentance as a non-stop state of our heart. That this is what should be non-stop in us, this spirit of repentance. Just because while we do something, we commit a sin, but even like this act of sin is a reminder that something is broken in us. Because this sin came from some kind of state of our soul. Look, that we say that, well, I didn't control myself and I failed. So it means that you had to control yourself not to sin. It means that there is something in soul you have to be careful, you have to watch, you have to pay attention. But it means that while this inclination of soul, it's something what is wrong with me. This is the problem. So it is not only for us to somehow to do repentance what we did, but to do repentance for the state of our inclination towards like sin. Because, and this is why Christ tells repent and believe, and it is like non-stop state of the repentance, this begging God for total healing of ourselves, to come to this point when we conquer all this passion that way, that I don't need to control myself. Well, this is heaven already, you know. But so it means that whole life we should be in this state, somehow begging God for repentance, to do things. All our prayers are expression of our repentance. Good deeds are expression of repentance. This, everything should lead to this begging for help, for healing. And again, we were talking about this legalistic approach to prayer or spiritual life. The same thing applies here, that okay, I did something, I go for confession, and it is okay. Well, yes, it is, since I've forgiven, but it doesn't mean that I should not stay in this state of repentance. It is a relief. I sins were forgiven, and I tasted of this God's love, which forgives sins. But still, it doesn't mean that now I should remove from my heart this spirit of repentance. It should stay, because the roots for that sin, this passion, is there still. I didn't conquer that. I just promised during like confession, I will try to do everything to avoid that sin. It means that I know that while there is this passion, this inclination, I have to fight with, you know, that to keep on good track. So it should not be never like some kind of relief that, okay, I'm fine now, and I do some kind of penance and it's okay. Well, don't take me wrong, this is like the gift of grace. We are seeing confession, really, it's like second baptism. And we should be thankful and rejoice in this. But in the same way, this, we should not expel the spirit of repentance in us, from our hearts. All right. So we can do another part.
O pilgrims on earth, you who rush or are dragged along the wide path through the never-silent noise of earthly cares, pleasures, and enjoyments, along the path of flowers that hide stems covered in thorns, who hurry along this road to the end that everyone realizes and yet forgets, the dark coffin, and an even darker and more frightening eternity. Stop! Throw away the enchantment of the world that is constantly keeping you in chains. Listen to what our Savior has to say. Pay due attention to his words. Repent and believe in the gospel. He says to you, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is absolutely necessary for you, earthly wanderers, to pay full attention to this essentially useful salvific admonition, or else you will gain nothing but the coffin and the gateway of eternity without acquiring any true understanding either of eternity or of the responsibilities of those who enter it, thereby only gaining eternal and just torments for your sins. The heaviest of sins is disregard of the words of the Savior, disdain of the Savior. Repent.
So he continues that same theme, but he tells us, what is the reason that we are not able to keep the spirit in repentance in our hearts? And he says, is it that we are deaf and or blind to this need for repentance? That when we are somehow full of the world, that we are tied, we are attached to the world and to pleasures which world offers. And this is so true that we are, that we have to pay attention to this, even if we want, if we have this good, this is the problem, that until our hearts are filled with world, it means impulses from outside, and world, Holy Fathers, they mean underworld, even these impulses which comes from our passions, which these desires for pleasures, that if heart is filled with that, we are not able to gain, to receive this knowledge which comes from above. And this knowledge from above causes that we start to see our life in true light. We start to see things which calls for repentance. And look, you can, it is our, I think each of us has this experience that, for example, if we were forced to be involved in some kind of intensive work, so we were like consumed by activities which came not from our normal life, but it was something extraordinary. It took like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, you know, that it was like longer. So we can feel in the end that we became like less sensitive to spiritual things. That it seems that we have to start all over. I remember when we were doing here in the church this heating and air conditioning, we were changing church in the rectory. So we lived from the middle of August to Thanksgiving, like in this like war conditions, you know, that like house was full of people running all kinds of these professions, so our life was totally like disrupted, and we were trying to, when they left, we were trying to do some kind of jobs to speed up the, you know, progress, you know, to what we could do, and so it means that it was totally rhythm of prayer, prayer was poor at the time, I have to admit. It was not as it used to be. And then when it was finished, I had this feeling that I am totally drowned. You know, and I was ashamed that I let it, that I let myself to go to this direction. And it was difficult to start again. And I think that you all have this experience that when we are exposed to this more some kind of activities and which come not expected and everything, so it takes us out from this, our discipline. So then we become less sensitive, we don't see clearly, and look, there are people who stay in this state, and well, they with good, they call themselves like, well, I'm good Christian, I'm good person, everything, but because they are caught in that, they just are blind and deaf to this. And even they hear words to repent, they say, yes, we have to repent, but they don't know why they should repent. Even this understanding what is sin or sinful, what is passion, they are losing understanding. They are not realizing this is something what is important, even in the time of death, are not able to come to this understanding many times. if they lived many years in this state, even I'm sure that God gives like special grace and time of death, but still there is a need in us to do something. It's like my friend, he told me he was in a priest in like we have these counties here, so the same in Slovakia. He was in one of these main cities, which was like capital of this county, and usually there were like hospitals and schools and everything. And so he went very often to hospital, you know, to really to take. They called him when somebody was dying, and he said that this is very painful for him. He said, how it is possible that if somebody is dying, and a person really, well, he says, I always did something good and everything. Well, and this is true, they were going to the church all the time and everything, but he could like feel that there was no repentance there. Mm-hmm. There was not this seeing the truth about. He said, well, if I'm dying, I would be crying and begging all the time, you know? And I said, well, I give them like this anointing and absolution and everything, and I'm about to leave the room, and the person asked me, can you turn on TV again? Oh. And he said, it kills me. Mm-hmm. You know, you have probably a few hours of life, and instead,
bless you.
Thank you. Deeper to this in repentance and begging God for mercy, you just want more TV. He was like in pain because he, as a priest, he felt like his feeling was that I failed because I didn't bring them to this repentance. But you cannot do anybody if the person is not attuned to this. So this is why he says these words, and it should be like a shaking of our, he wants to shake our souls, you know, with that we should start to think about this first commandment of Christ. All right, thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.